his last 3 weeks. I had a little bit of time to ponder and consider something that has kind of struck me for several years, but I've never really had the chance to unpack it. You know, I don't know if y'all are like this. You ever have your times, you know, you're studying God's word, you're doing your devotions, and there's always those things you kind of skim over, those topics you skim over, and it just jumps out at you and resonates to you, and you dwell on it for a few moments, but you just don't have time to unpack it, and so you could have kind of put it on the back burner, and you always tell yourself, you know, one day I'm really going to unpack that and try to dig into I feel like there's something important there. Well, there's a word for me that for the last several years I've kind of felt like every time I come across it, I feel like, you know, there's just more to that. I think God wants to speak to me. Someday I'm going to unpack that. And I still haven't really jumped in to start unpacking, but these last few weeks it's really been coming to mind, and I wanted to discuss it with you guys this morning. We're not going to look at any particular verse or study any particular passage, but just a topical, broad overview of the topic of remembering. You ever think about the word remember? You ever just reading through the scriptures, does it ever jump out to you how often you see the word remember? Over and over and over. Remember. Remember, remember, bring to your remembrance, don't forget. It's there so much, and it's always stuck out to me. And in dwelling on it these last few weeks, and especially this last weekend, it's one to not hardly even scratch the surface, but just discuss it and see if God will speak to us this morning, anyone individually, and us as a body, as a congregation. So let's open in prayer and we'll dig into this. Lord, thank you so much for your word. God, every word in your scriptures, every period, every question mark, every comma, Lord, we want to take it seriously. You have inspired by your spirit so many things that you want to impart to us. And this morning, as we discuss your word, as we read these passages, Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move freely among us. You and you alone know where each one of us are this morning in our thinking, in our emotions, in our spiritual state. And I ask that you would speak to everyone here individually, Lord, but more than that and greater than that, that you would build us up as your church, as your body, as your bride. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, we think about remember in English. What is it in Spanish? Recordar. Like record. Recordar. Don't laugh at me. That's not encouraging. You know, I don't know what comes to your mind. I mean, oh, I forgot where I put my car keys. I need to remember where my car keys are. Oh, I forgot it was Mother's Day until I came to church and everyone started saying it. Oh, that was bad. I don't know what comes to mind when you think of the word remember, but biblically, it is a very broad definition the way it's used. And there are a few different words that are similar, that overlap, but all bring a handful of meanings overlapping together. A few words, zekar, zikron, mean to pierce, to impress, to remember, to recollect, to record, to bring to remembrance, to declare, to recite, to proclaim, to commemorate, to praise or to offer praise, to burn incense, to invoke, to confess, to memorize, to make permanent notice, a conscious effort to remember, to make an account, to make a celebration, to make an object of a reminder, a token, or a festival, or a feast, to memorialize something, an event. These are all a range of meanings in these words that overlap in a mental state that we're encouraged to have and external actions that we're encouraged to make in the same word. You know, God has given us so many tools. It's like we have this spiritual toolbox that he's given us. And as we grow, God continues to give us more tools to put into our toolbox. Why? Because we're going to face a lot of problems. We're in a world that's broken, that needs a lot of fixing. We're going to face temptations. We're going to have struggles. We're going to, from every stage of life, from childhood, singlehood, married life, parenting, business, work, all these areas of life, and God gives us these spiritual tools. And one of the tools I believe we have that God has given us for our spiritual toolbox is remembering. It is a tool he's given us to help strengthen us, to build us up, especially in the face of the temptations and struggles and trials we're going to face in this life. It's a tool, a spiritual tool he's given us to affect the way we live every day. Much more than just remembering dates in history. When we remember the things that God is calling us to remember, it's not just historical information that comes to mind, but it's there to come to mind and impact the way we live now, presently, and direct us the way we're going to move in the future. Because the Word of God is active and living. It's acting and living. It doesn't change. It is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And when he calls us to remember these things, that is a tool or even a weapon that he has given us. Now, remember, the word remember and its differing variant forms are used over 1,000 times in the scriptures. I didn't count myself. I Googled it. But I knew it was a lot, and I didn't have time to count. So over 1,000 times, Old and New Testament, and that does not include the opposite of remember, which is often used in the same sentence. What's the opposite of remember? Forget. Oftentimes, we see in scriptures in the same sentence, remember, do not forget, followed by something that we're supposed to know. It's very important. A few examples, starting early in Genesis. Remember the story of Noah? And after God has saved a remnant to repopulate the earth, and he gave a rainbow, right? And he said, this is going to be a sign for you to remember my covenant with you, to remember the salvation that I brought for you. Remember this. So that was a sign that God set up to help us remember. We read on and we read stories from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And this is something we can apply in our lives. When you read the stories and you see every time they had an encounter with God and God spoke something to them, gave them a promise, what was the first thing Abraham would do, or Isaac or Jacob? We discussed this in our house church with the teenagers recently. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were constantly setting up altars. God makes a promise, and the first thing they would do is set up an altar to remind them, this is where God spoke to me and gave me this promise, that he was going to give us this promised land, that he was going to bless my family, that he was going to make my descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Every time God made a promise, they would build an altar. Now, they could have just remembered, right? Oh, yeah, God spoke to me. But it was more important to them that they not just remember mentally, but they would set up a sign. Why? You know, we all know this. Sometimes we mean to remember something. We purpose to remember something, some big event in our life, but through the passage of time, it becomes foggy. It becomes clear. Did God really speak to me about that? It didn't happen right away, and now it's been a couple years or a few years, or in Abraham's case, a lot of years. So the altars would serve as a reminder so that they would remember the promises God made to them. Moses would encourage the people of Israel emphatically. Remember, 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 remember. The book of Deuteronomy, the last of the five books that Moses wrote. Very important book in the Bible. The most quoted book by Jesus, the book of Deuteronomy. And the word Deuteronomy, it literally means the second telling, the reiteration, the retelling of the law. And it's a series of speeches that Moses is giving, encouraging the people to remember. Remember, remember, remember. He tells them, remember how you were slaves in Egypt. Remember how the Lord delivered you. How he brought the plagues. He showed his mighty hand and he brought you out of slavery in Egypt. Remember his mighty works. How he parted the sea before you for you to pass through dry. Remember how he conquered your enemies behind you. Remember how he led you through the wilderness. Remember how he provided for you. Remember how he gave you manna in the desert to eat. Every day you had enough to eat. Remember how he gave you quail to eat. Remember how he gave you springs of water in the desert out of a rock. Remember how the sandals on your feet didn't wear out for 40 years. Remember all these things that God has done for you. Remember those that rebelled and did not obey. Remember how they came to ruin. And then most importantly, Moses would encourage them over and over. Remember the law that the Lord has given to you. We're going to look in Deuteronomy 6 here in just a moment. In Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 1. He says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and all his commandments which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen to me and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Remember all these commandments. Teach them to your sons and to your daughters. Speak about them in your house, on the streets, at work. They're to be in your heart, on your head, on your hands. Now, it's interesting, just being in Israel these last 3 weeks and seeing, you know, the Jews, the way they take this passage, and you'll see them, and they'll write scrolls, tiny, tiny scrolls, and put them in these tiny leather boxes, and they'll strap them to their foreheads, and they'll strap them on their hands, and they'll wrap these leather straps around their arms and around their head, and they'll have them there, and they try to obey these scriptures by doing that, by just strapping them to their forehead, because God said they should be as frontals on your foreheads, and they shall be written on your hands. And they'll walk around with that in a certain amount of time. And we were at a church there, and one of the pastors was talking about this and said, you know, all of my Orthodox friends that I talk to, it's always coming up about merit, you know, trying to merit their salvation. And the more time they spend with God's word strapped around their forehead or on their hands, and the more times they rock and chant, it's like the more merit, the more favor they gain with God. And it's interesting, the Jews have no interest in evangelizing, as we would know it. They're not trying to convert anybody to Judaism. In fact, they make it very hard to convert to Judaism. You are born a Jew, and so their evangelism is they will just try to get the ethnic Jews to participate more. And so they'll stand on the street, instead of standing on the street preaching, they'll stand on the street with these little scrolls, and they, are you Jewish? Okay, here, come here. How long has it been since you've done this? I don't know what they call it, strapping, I don't know. And it's, oh, I haven't since I was a kid. And it's interesting, I watched a couple times, and people will come, and you could tell they're Jewish, but they're not practicing, and they'll agree. And one of the Orthodox Jews will put it on their foreheads and strap it on and put them, and they'll stand there for a certain amount of time, and the more time they do it, the more favor they gain with God. You go to any of their houses, they see the little thing by the doorpost with a scroll inside of it, with God's word inside of it. The unfortunate thing, in all of my observations, I never see them saying, okay, this is what the scroll says. I don't know how they handle the part where it says it shall be in your heart. But it's interesting, you fast forward to now, and Paul tells the same thing to the Gentiles over and over. Paul tells the Romans, the Corinthians, everywhere he went, Paul is telling the Gentiles, remember your former way of life. Remember how you were slaves to sin. Remember how you were dead and separated. Remember how God brought you out of that slavery to sin. Remember how Jesus freed you through his blood. Remember, remember, remember. And there's a why. In Deuteronomy, Moses gives a why. In verse 12, Deuteronomy 6:12. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name only. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. See, Moses talks about how, listen, it is so important that you remember this, because God is leading you to the promised land. But when you get there, you're going to be surrounded by other people that don't know me, that worship different gods. And you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to betray all the things that I've taught you. I want you to be a light among the nations. They're going to look like this. You are to look different. So remember, you've got to remember, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tempted by these other peoples when I lead you to the place I've prepared for you. And if you remember and obey, you will be strong, and I will give you success. But if you forget, it's going to be your doom. In the history of God's people that we read in the cycles throughout the Old Testament is that of them forgetting, going through all kinds of trials and persecutions, and then God redeeming them and them remembering. And then the same cycle again and again and again. Remembering is a very powerful tool. It stirs up a lot of emotions within us, different things we remember. It helps us to get back on track if we've gotten off track. Remember the story of Josiah? The king, he came in the downside of one of these cycles. Israel in their disobedience, in a bad, bad place. Josiah, a young king, not sure what to do, starts doing different things. And one of the most basic things, you know what? Let's clean up the temple. Let's just clean the temple. Get a fresh start. And they start cleaning the temple, and they find some old scrolls. And he's so excited, and they make a big deal and memorialize. Okay, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a holiday. And we're going to bring out the scrolls, and we're going to do it in this great and ceremonious way. And the priests are going to march out, and all the people are going to be there, and we're going to have horns, and we're going to have celebrations, and there's going to be days of just reading God's word so we can remember. And that brought in a new cycle of obedience and God's blessing. Another interesting thing we observed in Israel these last 3 weeks, they take remembering very seriously, at least at this point. I hope they continue to, and I hope that very soon God will open their eyes and they see all the things that they've remembered from his word, and they start to see how all of it points to their Messiah, to Jesus, Yeshua. That's a different message for a different day. But we were there the first day we were in Jerusalem, and someone had warned me that this was going to happen. But we're standing in a parking lot, me and Aliyah, Lydia, Kalev. It's a couple of groups around us. We're in the middle of the city. It's a busy city. There's traffic. There's conversations. There's people all around. And we didn't realize it initially, but we were there on the Holocaust Memorial Day. And at 10 a.m., a siren went off in the whole city. It may have been the whole country, I don't know. But in Jerusalem, this siren went off. It was a very somber siren. I'm sure they use it as warnings for attacks, for all kinds of purposes. But the siren went off for 2 straight minutes, and it was like time stopped. Everyone's in the middle of conversations. Cars are going by. People are walking. The siren started. Everybody froze. The cars in the middle of the street stopped, and the drivers got out, and everyone stood and just stared. All the conversations going on around me just stopped mid-sentence. Everyone just stared, bowed their heads. I knew what it was for, and so I took the moment to just bow my head and dwell on what happened in the Holocaust. How awful that was. And as I sat there remembering for 2 minutes, it was a powerful thing. I began to get teary-eyed, and I really, my heart was moved. And then I had to lean down and explain it to my 4-year-old and 8-year-old and 6-year-old. And it was very significant. It helped me in that one moment. And if you know anything about the Jews, they're very adamant about that. From the time of the Holocaust, and when God made them a nation in 1948, they have this slogan, this phrase that they use all the time. I'm sure you've heard it. They say, never again. Never again, they say. And every time they say that, they remember the Holocaust. And it strengthens them to defend themselves as a nation. And they use that as motivation. You know, every young person in Israel has to serve in the military. The boys have to serve for 3 years, and the girls have to serve for 2 years. And you know what? They don't resist. There's no opposition. In fact, people resent it when others don't participate. There's a couple of groups, very Orthodox Jews, that say, hey, we're not going to participate, and they don't. And people resent that because they remember. They remember what happened, and they use that to strengthen them as a nation. In the same way, God wants to use it in our lives to strengthen us as we walk through this culture, this world, as we live this Christian life. He wants us to remember. Remember where we were. Remember our slavery. Remember our salvation. Remember what our salvation cost. So many of the worship songs that we sing that make reference to what it cost, to what Jesus did. Why? To bring to remembrance, not just so that we remember the past, but in a way that it affects the way we live now, right? Today. And it projects our path moving forward. It's interesting. I don't know if you've thought of this. You know, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to help us remember. In John 14, 26, Jesus says, when the Helper comes, that is the Holy Spirit, He will bring to remembrance all the things that I taught you. How important is that? The Holy Spirit, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to help us remember all the things that Jesus taught us. Another cool thing we did to remember, this is pertinent to Mother's Day, I think, but we were in Jerusalem, and there's a tomb there at the bottom of the Mount of Olives. It's actually a big graveyard, but there's a tomb there called Absalom's Pillar. And Jews have this tradition. They take their kids there and throw rocks at it as a sign to their kids of how dangerous it is to not honor your parents. And when you remember the story of Absalom, you understand why, right? Of course. And so, no, just kidding. How many people remember the story of Absalom? It's one of those stories not everybody remembers, right? Or you just remember little pieces of it. But remember, Absalom was David's son. And there was a period when he rebelled against the king, his father David. And he even chased David and his men out of Jerusalem and controlled Jerusalem for a time. And during that time, he built this tomb for himself to be buried in. But then God was bringing David back into Jerusalem. David did not want Absalom killed, but David's men were moving back in to retake the city. Absalom was riding along in his donkey at night, and there were two oak branches that were crossing the path. He didn't see them, and his neck got caught, and the donkey kept going. And he hung there by his neck, still alive, and one of David's men came and ran him through with three spears. And they didn't even bury him in the tomb he built for himself. They threw him in a pit and piled a bunch of stones on top of him. And so we took the moment while we were there, and I sat my kids down in front of the pillar, and I told them the story. And I said, now, do you want to get hung up in a tree by your neck and run through with three spears and thrown in a pit and piled on with stones? No. Well, then you better not dishonor your parents. Get up and throw rocks at the pillar. And they did. And then I had to stop my kids because they are so not rebellious. They would have stayed there throwing rocks for an hour. I mean, just start throwing. Okay, guys, that's enough. Stop with the rocks. Other people were walking by and starting to look at us. That's enough rock throwing, guys. That's okay. So I'm glad. So kids, if you don't want that to happen to you, all the kids are gone. If you left, honor your mothers today on Mother's Day. Because we don't want anyone hanging from a tree by their neck and all of the rest of that. The other interesting thing that happened, they opened it up later, and inside they found an inscription that read, "Here lies Zacharias, the holy priest, father of John." Who might have that have been? John the Baptist's father. And some scholars believe, of course, it's controversial, they don't know. Was Zacharias really buried in this tomb? But a lot of scholars think it possible, because families would be buried together in the same tomb, that John the Baptist, minus his head, of course, may have been buried in that same tomb with his father. I don't know. Different story, different message. This is very important to us, that we learn these stories. Jesus, when he was teaching, he would often use that same word, remember, and he would refer to some story. You guys, real quick, you want to memorize a passage with me? It's very important to try to memorize scripture, to put it in our hearts, put it in our heads, have it ready at hand when we need it. If you're not memorizing scripture, give it a try. See how it affects your life. Let's do this real quick right now. Luke 17:31 says, remember Lot's wife. That's it. Okay, Luke 17:32. Say it with me. Remember Lot's wife. Okay, now Eric, you be quiet. I'm going to be quiet. Okay, everybody say it. You guys just remembered a verse. Good job. You just memorized the verse, Luke 17:32. 32. Luke 17:32. And believe it or not, that's not the shortest verse in the Bible. Does anyone know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept. Slightly shorter. But imagine you're with Jesus. You're one of the people in the crowds. And here's Jesus, and he's teaching, and it's just like the words are coming alive in your heart, and they're inspiring him. And then he says, remember Lot's wife, and just moves on, and you don't have any idea what the story of Lot's wife was. You just missed it. It's important that you know the story of Lot's wife, right? And then when he says, remember Lot's wife, it stirs to your mind, oh yeah. God was leading her from her old way of life. They were in Sodom and Gomorrah. God was going to destroy the city but bring salvation to them. All they had to do was leave it and not turn back. But she was so enamored with her past life, the life of sin, that even though she started following God, she just had to look back to get another taste of that former life of sin. And guess what? It ruined her. If you don't know the story, you can't remember it. You lose the lesson that Jesus gave there. And you lose the power of the impact. You lose the spiritual tool of remembering in that moment. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Another very important way that Jesus used this. And I know I'm jumping around a lot, and I hope this isn't coming across as just ramblings, but I these are things I've really been dwelling on for a while, and just hoping that little pieces of it will stick with us this morning. In 1 Corinthians 23, we just read this together and participated in the Lord's Supper right before I left. And we'll be doing it again in the next couple weeks. 11, 1 Corinthians 11. Perdóname. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup of the covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see all of it. Every time we do it, what do? We get together and we take the bread and we're remembering an event that happened 2,000 years ago. And we say, okay, this is the body of the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth. All the world, all the universe was made by him. He holds the whole thing together. He was born as a baby, and then not just that, but he lived and died and gave himself, suffered and died so that I might be set free. And we remember this event that took place 2,000 years ago, and it impacts the way we are right now, our presence. It reminds us that he didn't just do it 2,000 years ago, but that his presence is with us right now, right here, wherever we may be. And when we take the cup and we drink and we think of what it cost for the Son of God to shed his blood, to pay the price, my penalty, my price for my sin. And I realize he's here now, and he says not just that, until he comes. And we think about it, he's coming again. He's given us these promises and he's told us how to live. And we remember, and it affects the way we are today, and it aims where we are going. Right? Is this making sense? We should, as God's people, we should practice remembering. When we share our testimonies, what are we doing? We're recalling all the things God has done in our past, all the miraculous ways he drew us to himself. And we're sharing a testimony, and it's impacting us because we're remembering, and it's encouraging everyone else that's hearing the testimony. Maybe we give a testimony of how God's faithfulness in our finances or in our family or in our marriage or with our children, and we're remembering and we're proclaiming and we're celebrating. Every time we meet together Sunday mornings and we worship and we're remembering, we're proclaiming, we're celebrating. We should practice these things. We should memorize scripture together. In fact, I want to give us a little bit of homework. If you will, grab a friend, grab a partner. Because if you just do it on yourself, you might leave with good intentions. But then you forget. It's good to have accountability. So grab a friend, a partner. Take a minute and discuss it. And pick an area in your life where you know God wants you to grow. Maybe it's an area in your life. Maybe you're dealing with an anger issue. Look up a verse that has to deal with anger. And tell your friend, I'm going to memorize this verse this week. And then do the same. Everybody grab a partner. Grab somebody and say, let's memorize a verse together this week. And then touch base a couple times throughout the week. How's it going? Can you quote that verse to me? And see if by this time next week, you can memorize a verse. Now, if you memorize passages, verses already, and it's easy to you, pick a hard verse. Pick a longer verse. If it's not something you make a regular practice of, you don't have to start big. Find a short one-liner, but begin to make it a practice to memorize scripture. Why? So that it's in your heart. It's at the forefront of your mind. It's ready to come out. And when you deal with a situation, when you run into a situation in your life, at work, with a friend, you'll notice more and more of those things you've memorized come to mind. Oh, wait, I memorized that passage. I think it applies to this situation in my life. I'm remembering it, I'm applying it, and it's solving my problem right now. That's one of the ways this living and active word we've been given impacts our life, affects our life. Let's make it a practice. Let's share these testimonies. We were flying back Friday, and we had a layover in Switzerland. And we're just in the airport in Zurich, and we're exhausted, waiting for our next flight. Kids are playing, and Brianna remembered and told our kids, I love Switzerland. This is where the Lord first spoke to me that I was supposed to marry Bobby. And our kids, really? What happened? And Brianna told the story. And I'd heard the story so many times before, but I hadn't thought about it in years. I totally forgot. But as Brianna recounts the story, which I'll save for another time, as Brianna recounts the story to our children of how she was there visiting Hannah, and we had kind of gone through this season of just seeking the Lord, were we supposed to be together or not? And she told them the story of how God spoke to her to marry me in Zurich. Guess what that did for our marriage? In the middle of the airport, while we were exhausted after flying for, we had been flying for like 9 hours at that point, all of a sudden our exhaustion went from just tired and exhausted and trying to endure the day to, oh, my heart's fluttering for my wife. I remember back then when we were Twitter-pated for one another. There's a real power in remembering these stories, these testimonies. This word, amen? I'm going to close with that and just encourage us in that. Please, can't force you. I can't give you a bad grade. But I encourage you, before you leave today, grab a friend and say, hey, let's memorize a verse together. And see if you can do that by next Sunday. And before you leave, ladies, see Judy and Jennifer at the back table. And kids and anyone that wants to help with VBS, talk to Patty. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all the things you've done. We thank you for your word that you've preserved for us through the generations, Lord, that we can look at this and be impacted, be encouraged, be strengthened. Sometimes we are reproved, corrected. But Lord, you have such good things prepared for us, and we thank you. Holy Spirit, bring to our remembrance day by day those things that Jesus taught us and how they apply to our lives, Lord, that we may walk in your light in this dark time, in this dark world. And as we remember, let us proclaim and celebrate to those around us your love, your mercy, and your generosity. In Jesus' name, amen.